This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Research facilities located in Brazil, Mexico, and Vietnam. Illinois' Attorney General continues to crack down on pop-up COVID-19 testing facilities. Attorney General Kwame Raoul says his office shut down the Center for COVID Control out of Rolling Meadows after investigating claims of delayed results, improper storage, and incorrect use of personal protective equipment. The center had locations throughout Illinois. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Get out before the Russians move in. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Ahead of a feared invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. Embassy there is ordering families of American personnel to leave, also allowing non-essential staff to go and warning Americans not to travel to Russia or Ukraine. Fox's Steve Harrigan is in Kiev.
President Biden considering a range of options, including deploying as many as 3,000 to 5,000 military personnel in the Baltics and in Eastern Europe. And here in Ukraine, the second shipment of American ammunition and weapons arrived. Ukrainian officials put that total at more than 80 tons. The administration continues to insist that there will be no preemptive sanctions against Russia. Here's the Secretary of State.
The purpose of those sanctions is to deter Russian aggression. And so if they're triggered now, you lose the deterrent effect.
And the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, also told NBC's Meet the Press Russia might try to topple Ukraine's government. A new Fox poll has a majority of Americans giving President Biden a thumbs down handling foreign policy. And only 43% approve of the job he's doing overall. And 6 in 10 say they would not vote for him if he runs for president again. More than 80% worried about inflation. The record COVID surge relented a bit with a drop in cases last week from the 2 weeks before. But it was still 4.7 million infections. And while Biden advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci calls it a good trend, he tells ABC's This Week,
there are still some states in the southern states and western states that continue to go up.
COVID deaths rose a fourth week in a row across the U.S., the most in a week in 11 months. In Washington, D.C.,
no
a protest against vaccine and mask mandates and other COVID restrictions. Today in Virginia, new Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's order goes into effect, reversing a mandate for kids to wear masks in schools, though some counties are defying it. America's listening to Fox News.
Ever have questions about your prescriptions, even in the middle of the night? Well, Walgreens now offers Pharmacy Chat 24/7, so you can ask an expert about things like the correct dosage of your medications or possible side effects. Speaking of side effects, the side effect of getting your questions answered at 2 a.m.? Sleeping much easier for the next 6 hours. Try Pharmacy Chat today or tonight, online or on the Walgreens app.
After 9/11, Saul Martinez couldn't wait to enlist. In Iraq, his vehicle was hit by a projectile improvised explosive device. Saul survived, but he lost both legs, suffered a traumatic brain injury, and lost two close friends. Saul now lives in a smart home from the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which gave him back his independence despite his severe physical challenges. Help heroes like Saul. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
The House Democrat-led committee investigating the Capitol riot keeps poring over the Trump White House records. The former president failed to get blocked at the Supreme Court.
Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, a Mississippi Democrat, said on CBS Face the Nation, the documents may not only yield more details of planning, but also possibly
additional individuals to make requests.
Among those the committee already hopes to hear from, former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani and former first daughter Ivanka Trump.
A number of items attributed to what she's been saying, and so we're asking her to come in voluntarily.
She has yet to agree to that. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks could drop again. Futures are down after three straight losing weeks. The recent rise back of oil prices has gas up a penny the past 2 weeks.
If oil prices don't reverse themselves and fall significantly very soon, this means we will probably have a few more pennies rise.
Analyst Trilby Lundberg's survey of stations puts regular at $3.40 per gallon, AAA's national average $3.33. Two more nail biters in what was a really wild NFL weekend.
Every NFL divisional playoff game got decided on the final play. Sunday night, one of the greatest in NFL history. The Kansas City Chiefs forced overtime against the Buffalo Bills on a 49-yard field goal with no time left. 25 points were scored in the final minute 54 of regulation. First drive in overtime.
Ball game! Chiefs!
to the championship game.
On CBS, the Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36. Fourth straight year, Kansas City will be home for the AFC title game next Sunday against the Bengals. The Rams will host the 49ers for the NFC championship. Rams gave away a 27-3 lead to Tampa, but held off the Buccaneers 30-27 on Matt Gay's field goal as time expired. Jared Max, Fox News.
Could that have been Tom Brady's last game? After that loss, the Buccaneers quarterback, who's won 7 Super Bowls, says he's not put a lot of thought yet into whether he'll retire. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
When you talk tires, you need to talk about who you can trust. Palmer Tire is now offering Michelin and Goodyear tires. Palmer Tire is the area's only Michelin and Alliance certified tire professionals. Just tell them which kind of car you drive and they'll go over all the numbers with you. The number you really need to remember, though, is 875-4266. They'll take the time to talk tire size, speed rating, load index, tire pressure, and of course, price. Talk to someone you can trust. Palmer Tire, your Goodyear and Michelin tire dealer.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today, we've got a slight chance of rain and snow up until noon. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 40. And tonight, cloudy with a low around 9. For Tuesday, sunny with a high of 20, wind chill values down as low as negative 3. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 20. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 27 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06. This look at your weather brought to you by Palmer Tires.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, January 24th edition of Byers & Company. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will be with us and we'll check in with the folks from St. Mary's and their partnership with the Decatur Leadership Institute, plus Topper on Sports. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your week. And the weather forecast, we just have winter. We got to get through winter. I hate winter. I can't stand it. When I was a kid, I never really could wrap my head around why so many people moved to Arizona and Florida when they got older. Why? Now I know. And every year it becomes clearer to me.
I'd like to have some snow, though. You know, if it's going to be cold, I'd like to sit and look at it.
Okay, then think about all your plow guys and the city resources that have to go to work to make all that happen so you can have your view out the window.
Well, yeah.
Come on now.
If I've got to be this cold, though, I'd like it to be pretty instead of just you walk out in the wind just goes it's through
just,
your entire
just
body.
Gray and windy and cold, yes, for sure. All right, well, good morning and welcome. The mayor is in studios with us here today. Let's talk a little bit about, it's been a couple of weeks. We have had just devastating numbers since January 1st after the new year. I believe there have been something close to 7,500 new cases in the first 3 weeks of this new year. There have been an awful lot of deaths, I think 16 over the last 2 weeks. We are now back to getting daily numbers. We'll get the totals today over the weekend, I'm assuming. And every day I hear of someone else I know who's hospitalized or not doing well. And yet it just seems like if I go to a store today at 2 o'clock this afternoon, half the world is living like this isn't even existing.
Well, I mean, we've talked before about COVID fatigue, but, you know, Brian, the governor, I think it was last week, said, you know, had a news conference that he felt like we had peaked in Illinois. And, you know, I think there probably are parts of Illinois that have peaked in maybe the Chicago area, but, you know, in Chicago, people wear masks and they socially distance.
Debbie Bogle came back from New York. She flew out there. She had to isolate in a hotel room for a week and then film a commercial for the charity that she's serving as an interim director for the Lisa Foundation. And she said she didn't see anybody without a mask for a week.
As you walk into a shop, if your mask is not over your nose and mouth, they will tell you, put it on. Yep. And people do it. And, you know, we have a lot of resistance here. And I don't know that we have peaked here because we've got such a low vaccination rate.
We clearly haven't if you look at the numbers. Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, the Board of Health reversed its decision, and we do get daily numbers. Now, we don't get them on the weekend, but so we'll get some big numbers, I'm sure, today. But, you know, Brian, I remember in the beginning of COVID when we were starting to have, you know, a lot of cases, and in the very beginning, it's like we hit 23 cases in one day. I distinctly remember calling the county board chairman going, we have 23 cases in the county, which seemed astronomical. And then, you know, last week we were hitting 400 and 500 a day. And these are, yes, people who are vaccinated, some are getting sick. That's the nature of this. This is evolving.
Listen, I talk to our administrators on a weekly basis from all three, the two major hospitals in Crossing. And the vast majority of people who are in trouble are unvaccinated.
Yes.
The ones who are end up hospitalized, if they have been vaccinated, and what the numbers don't tell you from the health department is whether those people are fully vaccinated with a booster. It just means they've had at least one shot.
It doesn't also tell you if they've got another condition.
But all of them have, suppressed immunizations. I'm sorry, immune systems. They have other conditions, which has been a big part of all of this, right? You could have diabetes and live another 20 years. You can have diabetes, get COVID, and the complications because of the COVID and the diabetes takes you down a bad path. That has been the situation from day one. But people act like this comorbidity thing doesn't exist, or they died of that. And
that it's being covered up with COVID numbers. But, you know, COVID accelerates.
But you
everything.
Could have lived another 20 years.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why people want to assume that there's some sort. I don't get it. I don't understand from the beginning why. Drew Early sat here in that chair a couple of weeks ago and said, you have trusted us for years about your heart disease and your diabetes. I mean, why now do you not trust us?
Exactly. And I mean, this is, if you get a cancer diagnosis, you might do more research on that type of cancer. You might even go get a second opinion.
Absolutely.
But realistically, you will trust your doctor and do what the doctor says, or you get options, whether to, you know, try treatment or to not do treatment. And you trust them. You don't fight them at every turn. Same thing with heart disease. And if you've got high blood pressure and you've got other things and your doctor says you need to go on this medication because if you don't, it could kill you. Most people are going to go on that medication.
Right, but the big difference between this and that is that if they don't choose to follow that advice, it's just on them.
Yeah.
You know, and those 19 people that were hospitalized that have been vaccinated, somebody else may or may not have, just because of their casual sort of not taking this seriously, caused that to happen.
Absolutely, and it's just...
including family and loved ones.
But, you know, here's the deal, Brian. I don't know if this is my own COVID fatigue. We have vaccines available. We have information available that should give you a pretty good understanding, fair and balanced information. If that's your choice, that's your choice. As harsh as that sounds.
I get that, but yet people still have to go to work at grocery stores and they still have to work on the front lines, and it's not their fault.
No, it's not, and it's not fair to them.
I did see an interesting story about the amount of people who have had an adverse reaction to the vaccine, that a big percentage of those that they believe is a placebo reaction, like that people have convinced themselves. It's a scientific study that's fascinating. We won't know for certain all of this until
a long time.
Very long time. But the idea that people talk themselves into symptoms, I mean, isn't anything new in the medical field.
No, that's absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look at men who get pregnancy symptoms, you know, sympathetic, whatever, and then they gain 40 pounds and blame it on the pregnancy.
Right. You've been at the hospital throughout this whole time, and I know you were working from home at some point of it, but you know, that hospital is the same hospital as it was 3 years ago. The people would go in there and treat the staff with respect and appreciate nurses and frontline workers. How do you explain where we are today?
I don't even know where to begin.
Because it's not normal.
And we will, you know, both hospitals, if you are at end of life, will allow family members in. It's amazing to me that we have stories of family members who go into these rooms where you have a loved one who's dying of COVID, and they don't want to wear their masks. And then they want to walk around the hospital, go to the cafeteria. You can't do that.
Yeah. But yet, the perception, I mean, that somehow these institutions that we've trusted with our health and our lives, all of our lives, are somehow in collusion into this big thing.
To what
thing.
End? People think hospitals are getting rich
hospitals
off
are
this
losing money right and left because their bread and butter is an elective surgery. The idea that hospitals want you to die is beyond amazing to me because you make your living on people living longer and treating them.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be as cynical as I can about how the healthcare
field
works.
The mission of these hospitals is to take care of all of us.
Yeah, but I'm
not
saying even if you don't care about that, if you just want to look at just the dollars and cents, literally where you make your money, how you subsidize all the other areas of care is in elective surgeries and that type of medical treatment.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the beginning of COVID, when hospitals were shut down by the state, not necessarily for elective surgeries, now they are on their own to balance it out. Billions of dollars were lost every month in Illinois hospitals. And I mean, hospitals are not the big money makers that they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They're just not. They're shiny and their stuff is expensive and their doctors are.
And this is going to cause the healthcare industry to change forever because they're going to have to. And that's probably something good that will come out of this is the acceleration factors. Like when you have, you got to come up with a better name than telehealth because it just doesn't even make any sense. But all of that will improve.
It already has.
Yes. But because, I mean, it's here to stay, though.
Absolutely. And that will allow more expert care to go into rural areas where people may not be able to have behavioral health or some specialist to get, you know, and it's really amazing technology.
It is. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, because the healthcare model is going to have to change.
Yeah. Well, it
already it's probably
has.
Needed to change for a long time.
Well, it's been changing since Obamacare. I mean, it really has. And part of that was by design to shrink the number of hospitals that are in the country. And that's happened. Smaller hospitals have, you know, done away with services and they've become more of a drip and ship or, you know, you get stabilized and sent to a bigger hospital.
Well, I know we had an experience here, Lindsay did on her side of the family, not with COVID, but with something else. And went to one of the, the doc in the box places, and they wanted her to take this family member to an ER, and they said, go to Mattoon.
Yeah.
And literally what was thought to be just something you could go and see somebody take care of, said, no, you really should probably go get this checked out, but don't check out here because you're not going to get in. Drive to Mattoon.
Yeah, the ERs have been absolutely slammed.
By the way, Mattoon was wonderful, and they had a great experience, and yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people that think this isn't real, I'm just saying, it's like, I mean, when do you ever remember in your life somebody saying, you know, you really should probably go to the ER, but drive an hour away?
Well, Brian, I had that experience with my mother because she was in a nursing home in Sullivan. She got pneumonia. They wanted to send her to hospitals in Decatur. And we were at a very high point of COVID. And I said, don't you send her without calling first because there's not going to be a bed. And the last thing that would have been good for her was to be, you know, sitting alone because at that time you couldn't go in, but alone, confused, waiting to be seen, you know, and basically I said, you try Mattoon or try Champagne, but
I don't think people believe it until they get there and see. I really don't. And I mean, I just heard a story, you know, of someone who's literally in their last days, and they're sitting in an emergency room, you know, on a bed waiting for a room. I mean, at that kind of level of like, I'm almost dying, and I'm going to die. And there is no room to put this person. Parked in the emergency room.
Now, if you are having a heart attack,
I don't talk about emergency.
No, but
I'm just
saying. Those are the people who need to go to the emergency room.
Yes.
It's people who, you know, have strep throat or something. You know, go to the express care type places. Talk to your primary care physician. If you don't, then go to one of the doc in the box places because the emergency rooms, they are for emergencies and they're slammed.
All right. What are you let's switch gears a little bit because, you know, we talk about this every week and we'll continue to talk about this every week because it's not going anywhere. We've got to get you're right on about the vaccination. But yet the people who I've been fearful for throughout this entire time. It's not myself. It's not you. It's people who can't help the physical situation that they're in, and they have to go to work. They have to show up at the front lines. And not only are they getting disrespected and yelled at and spit on and called names, but they could get sick and die through no fault of their own. Yeah. And I don't know why. We as a society, half of us just said, I don't give a damn about anybody else, but we have. But the ones who have done everything and been fully vaccinated, meaning getting the booster shot, it's bearing out that far fewer hospitalizations, almost hardly any deaths. It's a math game at this point, and it has been from day one.
It is, and the people who are hospitalized are, I think it's 85%, it changes daily, but around 85% are not vaccinated.
So we know this. All right. We've got a lot of new politicians and political wannabes in our life right now.
Yeah, we do.
And so I don't know what all this looks like. I mean, we have an interesting, what I think is going to be an interesting race in the 13th. Mm-hmm. You have Rodney Davis's new district, which will be the 15th. And he now has a primary opponent, Mary Miller from to the east of us. Yet. That race is going to be interesting only because the former president has weighed in, and we'll see what happens. The other race got interesting to me with Jesse Rising, who I believe we have on the show this week. We're still trying to figure out the schedule. Sixth-generation Decatur family. He had a really impressive rollout. Oh,
his video was amazing.
Yeah. So just, I mean, yeah. not talking about policy or anything else, just sort of as a storytelling device, it was a really good story. You got Nikki Baczynski on the other side of this. I'm hearing another Republican here in Decatur is going to be announcing, which would mean a primary, which is just insane because that district is going to be so hard for a Republican to win anyway. It makes no sense for Republicans to be spending money on a primary, but whatever. That's everybody's
that's
right. That's politics. What are you making of all of this? Just from a community perspective.
Well, if you go to the new state maps. I think we have, what, 5 state reps for Macon County and 3 or 4 state senators? I don't even know.
They're all going to have like a sliver, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so that's going to be interesting. In fact, I'm meeting with one of those folks today. As far as the congressional races go, you know, when I was just looking at it in the beginning, I'm thinking, well, you know, most likely Rodney's seat will stay Republican.
Yeah, whoever wins the primary is going to win the general.
And the 13th would, in my mind, and this is before Jesse announced he was running, strong possibility it would be Democratic.
So, because those districts were, one was designed to lean red, the other one was designed to lean blue.
Right.
So and they wanted to give that to Rodney. That was actually a gift to him.
I know.
But he had the unbelievable fortitude to sort of vote, to recognize that an election took place. And so Trump's going to screw him.
Mm-hmm. But looking out for Decatur, I was kind of pleased with, I've got a Republican right here and a Democrat right here. So whoever is in charge, you know, in Congress and at the White House, I've got somebody who can get me into where I need to go to say, give me the money for Decatur.
I felt the exact same way. Because
I was fine with
that. And I'm not rooting one way or the other, but I mean, you've got somebody who worked in the Biden administration. You know, that's a plus to some, a negative to others, but clearly.
Depends on who's in charge.
Exactly. And then you've got, if Republicans take control of Congress, you've got a guy who's poised to be sitting as a chairman in one of the most powerful committees in Washington, D.C. Good for us.
Absolutely. Now, getting back to the new 13th, I know Nikki. I've known her for years. I've known Jesse since he was in preschool. So, I mean, and I'm good friends with his parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know both are outstanding people. And so we win either way.
Well, it'll be interesting anyway. I wasn't sure if it was going to be interesting, and then it got all interesting.
It's real interesting.
All right, so what do you make about the state side of this? Because the downside is, you know, people will try to spin this, and there's no way to spin it. You need one person that depends on most of your community to keep their job to have sway and influence over that person.
Mm-hmm. And
when they only need a sliver of what you have to offer –
yeah, your community needs to be important to them. Now, Senator Turner and Representative Scheer both have a large chunk of Decatur.
Do you see either one of them much at all?
Yeah, I do. I talk to both of them on a regular basis.
And but if you had to point...
I haven't seen people because okay, I haven't been anywhere.
Fair enough. If you had to point to one thing they've done for this community from either point of view, what would it be?
Well, in fairness, Senator Turner's only been in office, you know, less than a year.
Yeah, and we were supposed to book a monthly show with her, and it like just... They just quit doing it. No communication.
And I will say, in fairness, Representative Scheer was very instrumental in our Brush College project because we had the railroads sitting, just holding on to our plans. And it wasn't – Sue wasn't able to get to the railroads, but she was able to get to Durbin. And she has Durbin's cell phone number and was calling him on a regular basis to where I think he single-handedly went to the railroads and said, move it.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. And now they have less of our – or there are more people involved.
You know, I don't even – the hard thing is you won't – most people, Joe Sixpack is not going to have any idea who his state rep is.
Right.
I'm not sure I know. I've looked at maps and I'm confused. You know, the way they drew the 13th and 17th, they connected like it has to be contiguous. So they did – the bridge over the lake and made that part of the map and slivered around to my neighborhood. And it's just, it's absurd and it's wrong.
It is. And most people will tell you they're against the way it's done, yet the politicians aren't ever going to do it. Republicans will yell about it now and hope for one day to have the power to do that exact same thing. And that's the problem.
It absolutely is the problem. So it's going to be interesting, especially with Mike Madigan out, because he controlled the purse strings of every state rep candidate that was running on the Democratic side. And he's gone. And so these candidates are a little bit, I don't know if I'd say on their own, but they're kind of on their own.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I just hope for good representation.
Well, the county board chairman and I will do our best to make sure that our voices continue to be heard for Decatur and Macon County. And we've at least got, you know, we've got a strong coalition of people, regardless of who's representing us. We've got Democrats, we've got Republicans, we've got business, we've got labor. We have, you know, county government, city government, and we very much try to speak as one voice, as opposed to if you got slivers of people and everybody's in 18 different directions, what do? Ignore us.
All right. One last thing before we let you go on the COVID front. What led to the Macon County Health Board reversing their decision on how they were going to allow the Macon County Health Department to report numbers?
You know, I don't have firsthand knowledge, but I think they got such pushback from the public. And there were, you know, the chairman of that board was reading Facebook posts out loud to the Board of Health as they reconsidered the activity. I don't think they meant ill to do that. I don't think their motives, I think they were wrong, but I appreciate the fact that they took a look at it and said, okay, this was a bad idea. We're going to reverse course.
So, okay. I mean, some of the quotes that were in that meeting would suggest that they absolutely meant, I guess being generous is fine, but there were some quotes that absolutely would refute what you just said, that they were trying to control the media and trying to control bad PR.
Well, you know, let's take the high road here and hope that they were trying to do their job and they just erred and saw the direction they went and decided to go back.
I mean, I'm glad you can ignore the information. That's always your right. You don't have to follow
anything.
Well,
when you and I talk about COVID, people can turn us off.
Absolutely. And that's been the case for 2 years. And we're willing for you to do that so that other people can get the information and hopefully keep people safe.
Absolutely. This is, again, from the Herald and Review, less is not more.
Yeah. No, I agree. But new building, less is more.
Yeah.
Was that like the big move this weekend or something?
Yeah, they should be out of the...
Nick, you got it. You can look right out there.
Get some scoop from up here.
I couldn't remember where exactly they were moving.
Well, I think they're moving into Viewing, and Viewing is moving into there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Building.
So, yeah, I don't know if it was this weekend or there was just some stuff
I
about it this
I saw moving
weekend.
Trucks.
Did
yeah,
you?
I think there were stories about over the weekend about them moving.
Yeah, sad about the, you know, that.
I always like the printing press.
That's
so
exactly
fun.
Right. You know, Billy Tyus's dad, you know, ran that for years,
he did.
And it was so much fun to go down there and like, I mean, because I was a kid, like, you know, It was a big deal.
When I was an adult, it was a big deal.
No, I know, but I mean, I watched like all the President's Men, you know, I mean, that was like a thing.
Stop the Presses meant something.
Yes. You know? And you had like the whole big open, you know, with all the cubicles, and that was like my idea.
The energy and the noise of the wire machines, click, 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 and the typewriters that were loud.
There was even a great movie called The Paper that Ron Howard directed with Michael Keaton, you know, where they literally do Stop the Presses, and Randy Quaid's brilliant in it if you want to go back and do some old school newspaper stuff. And Spotlight, right, too, recently?
Exactly right.
It was a great newspaper movie. All right, well, welcome. And I guess we can kind of wave out the window to him now.
Yeah, see, control on the media right here.
Oh, jeez. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate you. Thank you. When we get back here, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. And then a little later today, Dr. Morris isn't going to be with us. She had a thing come up this morning, but her guests are going to be. And so we're going to fill in the blanks. I'll do my utmost to fill in for her. We'll do that after the break. Back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now. Illinois firefighters are being urged to schedule regular physicals and cancer screenings. Firefighters really need to take care of themselves, says Illinois Fire Marshal spokesperson J.C. Foltz. And that means getting checkups and the appropriate screenings for various forms of cancer. Unfortunately, it is a risk that comes with the job. Foltz says another vital component is a proper decontamination process after a fire, which can greatly reduce the transmission of carcinogens. A new report is highlighting the success of a recent law that helps service members obtain their state professional license more quickly. The law expedites the process of getting licensed in Illinois for occupations like physician, nurse, unarmed security guard, and cosmetologist. This is so important for active duty members and their spouses, says State Department of Financial and Professional Regulation Secretary Mario Trejo. The department helped 862 service members and their spouses through the licensure process last year, tripling the amount that took advantage of the initiative during the first year in 2020. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Presented with options over the weekend, President Biden's considering the deployment of several thousand U.S. troops to NATO allies in Eastern Europe because of Russian troop presence in the region. NATO's sending more ships and fighter planes there with troops on standby.
The NATO alliance says Russia is continuing to build up its military presence close to the Ukrainian border. The Biden administration says an invasion could follow at any time. The U.S. has ordered the families of American staff at the U.S. embassy in Ukraine to leave the country. Simon Owen, Fox News.
There are four teams left in the NFL playoffs. All four games over the weekend ended on the last play, including one in overtime last night.
The Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36. Kansas City will be home for the AFC title game next Sunday against the Bengals. The Rams will host the 49ers for the NFC championship. Rams held off the Buccaneers 30-27 on Matt Gay's field goal as time expired.
Fox's Jared Max. America's listening to Fox News.
ABC Tonight.
I took this vineyard and turned it into one of the largest wine producers in the country.
His dream created an empire.
There's about to be a hostile takeover.
I'm going to buy your company right out from under you.
But everyone...
The line between family and business can get blurry.
...has secrets to spill.
Your whole life is based on a lie.
I will always protect this company.
The series premiere of Promised Land.
Tonight at 9 on News Channel 20.
Mental health care.
The system itself is broken.
Spotlight on America investigates.
This was a person, a child, not a case.
Children's mental health emergency. Tonight on News Channel 20 at 6.
Wake up weekday mornings with News Channel 20 Sunrise. Join me, AJ Gersh, and Noel Ford as we cover the breaking stories you need to know. Plus, meteorologist Nick Patrick has your bus stop forecast. Wake up with News Channel 20 Sunrise, weekday mornings, 5 to 7.
Here is Nick Smith. Is that a new hat?
Newish.
Newish?
Yeah.
Like it.
Thanks for noticing.
Here's your three-day forecast.
Today, we've got a slight chance of rain and snow up until around noon. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. And then tonight, cloudy with a low around 9. For Tuesday, sunny with a high near 20. Wind chill values between negative 3 and 6. And then Wednesday, sunny with a high of 20. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 27 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Time now for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark, I don't know if that was the greatest weekend in NFL history, but it certainly has to be right there at the top of the list.
I have to say it's the greatest weekend in league history, capped off by what I believe is the greatest game in league history. How could it possibly get better than that Chiefs-Bills game? The last 2 minutes of regulation and overtime is a DVD recording, a DVR recording that I will never erase. That was unbelievable. Everything about it was unbelievable. You know, the Josh Allen, Gabriel Davis stuff was unbelievable. And then the response and then another response. I mean, I think a game like that brings up a number of cliches, one of which is, and I've been hearing this for as long as I can remember, when they say it's a shame someone had to lose. But isn't that 100% true of Josh Allen? I mean, didn't you just feel awful for that guy? What did he do to deserve to lose? Nothing except be on the other side of the ball and the other side of the field on a night when Patrick Mahomes played a game that will be talked about forever. The two quarterbacks combined for 707 yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a pair of quarterback ratings that exceeded 123. One guy rushed for 68, the other guy rushed for 69. I mean, they were unbelievable, and it just capped off an incredible weekend in which every game was decided on the final play of the game. And the Chiefs-Bills game was so good that we're barely talking about the Rams-Bucks game, which was crazy in its own right and was a game that we thought, well, that'll be talked about forever, and maybe it will be. I mean, it was amazing as well, with the Rams winning 30-27. And then, of course, the two Saturday games decided on last-second field goals. The guy that blows my mind is Tariq Hill for the Chiefs, who's like a 5-foot-9-inch version of Usain Bolt. When he turned the corner on that one play and just hit the afterburners, I mean, that is – it's fun to – any sport. I've talked about this before. In any sport, it's fun to watch guys who can run incredibly fast. And that guy was unbelievable. And it was just a sensational game that sets up games that there's just no way next weekend can be what this was. The two games will both be played Sunday, 2 o'clock, AFC Championship game, Cincinnati Bengals, who were just not used to calling their name at this time of the year, Cincinnati Bengals against the Kansas City Chiefs, and at 5:30, the San Francisco 49ers against the LA Rams in the NFC Championship game. I'm still a little bit flabbergasted to think of all that we saw in that game and in this weekend, but it happened, and I don't know how you get much better than that.
I don't either. Let me ask you real quick. Jim Nance tweeted after the game, you know, in a very polite way that Jim Nance does about the overtime rules. I was trying to explain this to Lindsay last night, and it does seem unfair that Buffalo just didn't get a chance.
Yep. Puts an awful lot of emphasis on the coin toss, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I don't know
whoever gets it first, particularly in that kind of game, because you have the feeling whichever quarterback gets it last is going to win. You know, I agree. I mean, I felt bad, and that's another reason to feel bad for Josh Allen, because he was making plays with his legs, with his arm. It was so crazy, and to not get a chance to, okay, let me try to duplicate that, and you know, maybe one up him with a 2-point conversion pass or something like that. I don't know. But those were the rules, and amazing. I'd hate, you know, the Buffalo Bills fans, Jeff Lampe used to work for me at the Herald Review, and he was a Buffalo guy. And his life is filled with anguish over the years.
Yeah.
Tough to be a Bills fan.
No doubt. All right, on the other side of the break, we'll take a look at that loss Friday with the Illini and the repercussions of that. This look at Tupper on Sports brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now open in downtown Decatur.
It's a new year, new deal at First National Bank. Right now, till the end of January, the Quality Bank is offering personal and business auto rates as low as 1.99% APR on 2020 to 2022 model vehicles. Start the new year off in a new car, truck, or SUV of your dreams. Qualified buyers can take advantage of these new deal special low rates until the end of January on a single vehicle or even a fleet. Roll into 2022 in a new ride at a low rate from First National Bank, the Quality Bank. Happy New Year from FNB.
We're back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, the Illini.
Well, they got two pieces of bad news on Friday. Number one, they were going to play at Maryland without Kofi Coburn, who was in concussion protocol. And then number two was the result of the game, Maryland pulling away late to win 81-65. It's tough to be without your best player. However, you know, I think you're still expected to play well with the guys you've got, and they did not do that, particularly over the last 8 minutes or so in the game. Just a lot of defensive breakdowns, some silly turnovers. There's a long list of players who weren't very good. And, you know, without Kofi, you don't have your defensive backstop, but somehow you have to put up some resistance there, and Illinois did not. Maryland attacked the basket ruthlessly. If one team attacks the basket and the other team does not, the attacking team is going to end up at the free throw line a lot more, where Maryland made hay there. And then as the last 8 minutes played out, I think Illinois became frustrated. Their body language was bad. Their energy just seemed to drop. I mean, they didn't present a very good image of themselves. Just not much to like about their performance on Friday, and not much time to feel bad about it, because Michigan State's at the State Farm Center tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We do not know about Kofi's status tomorrow. Brett Underwood has a Zoom teleconference this afternoon. And then you still had some other guys sick. This is a tough situation because, you know, you're getting diminishing opportunities to play everyone together, and that's what you need. You know, they have Kofi, and they don't have Andre Curbelo. They have Andre Curbelo, they don't have Kofi. They have Andre Curbelo, but not a completely healthy Andre Curbelo. You know, he was ill Friday. They have, you know, guys just, you need a healthy, they need a healthy team that can play together and build something together. And they're not getting that, and that's just the way the game goes sometime. We'll see what happens. I hope Kofi can play tomorrow. But as we learned with Andre Curbelo in the first round, you know, these concussions are very unpredictable. You don't know. So we'll see what happens. But that game tomorrow, 6 o'clock, and you can listen to it here on WSOY.
All right, my friend. Have a good day. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. The overtime rules, I was explaining this to Lindsay last night, and by the way, I'm not an expert on any of this. She just doesn't watch football at all. And when you explain to somebody, I've always used the Martian theory. Like if somebody landed tomorrow and you had to actually explain something that didn't make any sense to somebody who didn't have any context of growing up with it, how would they look at it, right?
Right.
And I didn't just call Lindsay a Martian. I just meant, you mean if they kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance, but if they score a touchdown, they don't? Yeah. That seemed like, as great a game as that was, fundamentally unfair and pointed out, would we have been damaged to have five more minutes of that football game?
No, obviously not, but then what happens?
No, I think you play a quarter. I mean, or whatever it is. I mean, but the idea that you lose the coin toss and you had that feeling, Mark was exactly right. Whoever won that coin toss was probably going to win that game without the other team having any opportunity to be on the field to do anything offensively.
Offensively. I mean, you are on the field at the same time.
I know. I'm just saying it seemed like no one deserved to lose that game, and it was literally the 50-50 or whatever chance of winning a coin toss to decide the outcome of a game that had been just brilliant up until that point.
I hear what you're saying. I have an overly complicated solution that I won't share here because it takes too long,
right,
and I know we need to move, but I think it's brilliant, which I don't generally anoint my own ideas that way. I love it. But, I mean, it's at some point, a lot of it has to do with player safety and the contracts they negotiated as well. And then not, you know, potentially paying 15 quarters and then having to play again next week. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. And
right.
And the idea that if you have to settle for a field goal or less, the other team, you know, will take advantage. And if you go for the jugular and they can't stop you, then you deserve to win. I mean, so it's not as egregious as people think.
I felt like last night that it felt egregious because of the way both teams played.
Yeah, it was a magical kind of game.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it comes down to who got to go first. But there is, I mean, if there wasn't a defense on the field,
yeah,
then your argument is 100%.
No, I know they're not just playing against. I mean, that they're on the field and can impact. But you know, the idea that if it's a field goal, that's not good enough to end it, but a touchdown is.
Yeah,
that seems weird to me.
It's just that idea that a coach has an option to go win the game or just to extend the game.
All right, even Jim Nantz, maybe the nicest man you'll ever meet in your entire life.
It sucks because we just want to see him slug and
I could have watched
going.
Two more quarters of that game. All right, time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Bob Brady announces the end of the tax cap on trades. Get to Bob Brady now to get the full sales tax deduction on your trade.
You could save big.
As of January 1st, the state of Illinois has removed the trade-in reduction cap. Get to Bob Brady now to take advantage of this additional tax savings. But maybe you don't want to trade. Maybe you just want to sell.
Let Brady buy it.
The automotive experts at Bob Brady are ready to buy your car. It's easy. Just bring it in. With most vehicles, we can make an offer your first visit. Bring your title or loan papers and get ready to get paid. We do the paperwork.
Even if you don't buy one of ours, we'll buy yours.
Get true NADA book values and top dollar. Not running? No problem. We bid non-working vehicles too. Don't let it sit there in your garage or driveway. This winter, ditch the eyesore and stop paying license and insurance.
At both locations.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall just off I-72 at exit 144 in Decatur or Bob Brady Buick GMC at exit 141 in Forsyth.
ABC Tonight.
I took this vineyard and turned it into one of the largest wine producers in the country.
His dream created an empire.
There's about to be a hostile takeover.
I'm going to buy your company right out from under you.
But everyone...
The line between family and business can get blurry.
...has secrets to spill.
Your whole life is based on a lie.
I will always protect this company.
The series premiere of Promised Land.
Tonight at 9 on News Channel 20.
Mental health care.
The system itself is broken.
Spotlight on America investigates.
This was a person, a child, not a case.
Children's mental health emergency. Tonight on News Channel 20 at 6.
Wake up weekday mornings with News Channel 20 Sunrise. Join me, AJ Gersh, and Noel Ford as we cover the breaking stories you need to know. Plus, meteorologist Nick Patrick has your bus stop forecast. Wake up with News Channel 20 Sunrise, weekday mornings, 5 to 7.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. And we're going to do this without Dr. Morris, who's normally with us on Monday mornings, so she's just supposed to be here. She's had something come up this morning, and so we're going to troop on with some guests from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, one of the unbelievable community members that we have. And first of all, Teresa, it's good to see you this morning, and I just want to say to all of your staff, and there are so many of them that have been on the front lines of this thing for 2 years. They've done such an amazing job. I can't imagine how difficult it is to be in your field right now.
It is hugely difficult. And thanks for having us today, because part of what we're going
to
talk about
is how to
building
get more
relationships.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. So staff's amazing.
How tough has it been?
You can't imagine.
Yeah, I believe that.
I've been in healthcare for a very long time. And I will say I've seen some of the worst. In the last few weeks, and we thought we were farther into this pandemic. And I will tell you, it is here, and people are dying, and people are sick, and our staff is exhausted. But they show up every day when they themselves are healthy, and we take care of our community.
All right. Well, please pass along our thanks and gratitude, because I know it's been an unbelievably tough time for anybody. I mean, it's been a tough time for anybody on the front line of anything for these past 2 years. I mean, I think about grocery store workers and, you know, servers and restaurants and people that have had to deal with their own fears about getting sick or family members getting sick, but then just the behavior by people. I mean, we're just seeing unprecedented levels of just bad behavior.
I think people's stress comes out in the way they act.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we forget we're all in this together. It is about our
community.
We were
all in this together for about 12 minutes in March of like 2 years ago. And it just disintegrated so fast. And you know, I was talking to Drew Early a couple of weeks ago. And I know, and first of all, too, the way that you and DMH and Crossing and everybody has sort of said, hey, community first has been, you know, unprecedented and appreciated. But he said, you know, you've trusted us for years, you know, to treat your cancer, your heart attacks, your, you know, why all of a sudden would we be the bad guys?
Yeah. Reality is all those things still happen.
Yeah.
COVID is just on top of it.
And let me ask you a quick question, too, because I think most people, there are a lot of people out there that think money is about everything and everything is driven by money. Am I mistaken in believing that the hospital's bread and butter, meaning how they subsidize all the other areas, is in elective surgeries and those kinds of procedures? I mean, the idea that somehow COVID would be a moneymaker for the hospital is the exact opposite.
That's absolutely true. We make money running an OR and a cath lab and lab and radiology.
That then allows you to do all the other things, care for people without insurance and do, I mean, you know.
COVID is part of how we care for our community. It isn't about making money.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you we don't.
No, but there is that stuff that gets passed along out there on social media, which seems
that idea.
All right. A few years ago, it was announced that the Howard Buffett Foundation was going to sponsor the J.J. Dawson Civic Leadership Institute with District 61 and Decatur Public Schools. And I thought this was just fantastic because leadership, meaning somebody wants to be mayor, somebody wants to be a firefighter, somebody wants to be a law enforcement officer, somebody wants to be a nurse. You know, the pillars in our community that matter and have mattered more than ever the last couple of years. There's clearly a huge shortage in nursing, and that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. In fact, it seems to be getting worse.
It is. I think the stressors of it. But what we know is if we grow our own, if we start early, and having Benny here with me today is a great excitement because we're both, you know, products of this community and the education system and the ideas of fresh ideas in this community.
All right. Well, Benny, welcome to the program and thank you for being with us here today. Tell me about your role in this and then we'll talk about the program in general because I just think Dr. Morris is doing amazing things and showing a different path to careers to maybe people who would never have even considered it or even had it in their worldview. So talk to me about this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So my role is a community sourcing strategist for HSHS, and Dr. Morris and I have partnered to educate the students on different healthcare pathways, different healthcare careers that they can take, and exposing those students very early on, getting them those job shadow experiences, talking to the different healthcare professionals, provides them with career paths they didn't even dream possible once before. So a lot of the work that we've done this past summer with the healthcare boot camp that we launched, they were able to shadow our Decatur ambulance service. They were able to shadow in the OR, cath lab, the different cardiac services that AHSHS St. Mary's offers. And we talked to the students afterwards, and they were just so thrilled and excited about the different possibilities that they could enter into healthcare outside of just nursing. There is a strong nursing shortage, and we definitely do need nurses. But, you know, radiology, we need those students to go into those programs. We need surgical technologists. So exposing them to different career paths has really been a strong suit that we've been focusing on this year.
You bet. One of my favorite LinkedIn posts ever was a young woman who, you know, started as a janitor at a hospital and kept all of her kind of ID badges all the way up to doctor, right? And so just, I think, sparking an interest of, hey, this is a field that is possible for you. I mean, I find so often without putting too much of the blame on public education is that, you know, this pandemic is an accelerator. We're all going to change the way we do business forever. And what would have had a shelf life of 10 years or 15 years, we've already reached it and it's done. We found this with the Ag Academy. It's like, you know, people would say, well, the kids won't care about that. Yeah, they will. They just need to be introduced to it. And you got to put it in front of them and make themselves see themselves in it, right? That's the tough thing. And then once they can, that light comes on and they can do anything. I've watched Dr. Morris and you and all the people involved with this do so much with this already where kids are telling other kids. I mean, it's a possibility now.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the hardest thing, right? Is just sort of introducing someone to something new.
Absolutely. absolutely. You know, students, when they think of healthcare, they automatically go to nurse and physician.
Right.
And our biggest thing was we want to expand their horizons. And so a lot of the students that we talk to, they're definitely bragging to their friends about the healthcare boot camp. We're very excited to do it again this year.
Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, what else can we do? How long can we go? Can we go for 2 weeks? And, you know, at first, you know, we're rolling it out. We wanted to get them some initial experience so they can get that one-on-one attention with the healthcare providers and learn what school do they have to take? How long do they have to be in school? What certification exams do they have to pass? And it's like you said, putting those ideas and presenting them to the students, they are interested. They just haven't had that access before.
Teresa, it is recruitment, I think, probably our own fault, you know, as a country. Like, you know, HR has kind of been HR the way HR has been for 30 or 40 years. And that's not necessarily the way the world is responding today. I mean, what have you learned, you know, about recruitment and getting people interested in care? It seems like it's a different discussion today than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely. We've got to learn that lifelong learning is our possibility. So regardless of where someone is in their life, entering a new career or starting a career can be pretty fascinating. And let's give them opportunities and help them recognize you can start here. It can be your door to open. But it doesn't mean that that's where you stop. You can do all sorts of things. I mean, I started as a CNA at St. Mary's, so you can do a lot of different things and put your foot in the door, learn what you want, figure out relationships that you can build that can help you do other things, take down the stereotypes.
I've seen signing bonuses, just insane amounts of money, you know, in the nursing area in particular, because that's just the front lines have been decimated. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. But as you said, so many other possible careers, you just got to realize you can see yourself in it. I mean, I remember, you know, manufacturing is having the exact same problem. And we interviewed, you know, some people from Caterpillar and, you know, a young woman who had been working in the fast food industry, you know, and she didn't believe that she had the skill set to sort of get into that type of career. But somebody convinced her and now she's on her second promotion, making, you know, four times as much money, working, you know, better hours with her kids and life. So much of it is just a belief in yourself.
Well, and that's what our community is all about, is how do we believe in this community and how do we invest in each other? Because we're here. We live here every day. We come back here. We continue to work here. And we want it to be a good and strong future. And Benny and Dr. Morris and the Institute have been phenomenal at laying that foundation. How do we help our kids realize they can learn and be whatever they want to be right here at home?
Yeah. Benny, how much fun is it now that you get to be, I mean, I think HR, you know, I think you are a community talent sourcing strategist, so that's a great title. But knowing that you can be as outside the box as you want to be, that has to be a very cool thing to be a part of. Like, you don't have to be thinking about the way we've always thought about recruiting or getting people interested. How fun is that?
I can't even describe it. You know, I get to come up with different ways of interactions with students, and I think, you know, nothing's off the table. So it's every day I'm brainstorming, or I can text Dr. Morris and say, hey, I think I have this idea of how we can reach some students. And then we pick up the phone, we call each other. And by the end of that phone call, we have a new idea to pitch, to launch, to get these students excited. So I am not in a box at all. And I absolutely thrive in that kind of environment. And so that gives me so many incredible opportunities and ideas to interact with our community to get everyone else excited.
Yeah, it's fun. It really is. Teresa, I'll tell you. I hope we look at stories and you see that things are, you know, sort of turning down as far as numbers are concerned. But we live in such a unique state. I mean, you know, what, 86% of the people have been vaccinated in the state of Illinois. But if you look at Macon County, it's like 50%, right? We hear Chicago cases, you know, ticking down, and we see that on the East Coast. But yet here it seems to be doing the exact opposite. There's so many things out there, opinions and channels, and everybody kind of has their own thing. Right now, it's still very serious in our community.
It is. What we have to remember is, regardless of what your political views are, protect those you love. Social distance, wear your mask, wash your hands, get your vaccine, and if you've been vaccinated, get your booster. This is an ongoing problem, but we are strong enough and smart enough to deal with this as a community. Let's take care of each other.
Yeah, amen. From your lips to ears, as they say.
Every day.
Absolutely. If folks want to find out about the career opportunities at HSHS St. Mary's, how do they do that? Online, probably the best place to start?
Absolutely, hshs.careers.org. that is definitely one place to reach out, or definitely follow our Facebook, LinkedIn pages. We are posting careers all the time on those platforms as well.
Okay. And then if folks, you know, maybe somebody's listening, has a grandkid or a kid in District 61, or they want to get involved in the Decatur Leadership, they can go follow them on Facebook and their website as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. Thank you for coming in. Teresa, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right. Next hour, Nick, we've got a whole bunch to get into, including some events that are coming up this week and an event that happened over the weekend. We'll get into that. We've got a lot to do. Plus, this plastic bottle thing. I read the most fascinating thing about what criminals are doing to get your car that I never would have thought of. And it's happening in big cities, but you never know. Give you a safety tip when we get back on the other side of the story. Right now, if you want to listen to the podcast of any of the interviews you might have missed, driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group, you can get those at Nauticator.com. Back with more after this.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Department of Children and Family Services will be the subject of a hearing in the Illinois House, but not until Friday, following a week of Republicans demanding the Democratic majority hold public hearings on problems with DCFS. Democratic State Representative Camille Lilly announced a hearing for January 28th. DCFS was recently found in contempt for holding children in hospitals when they were approved to be with families. More than $111 million has been distributed to support certain small businesses across the state. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity announced the total distributed funds for nearly 3,000 different businesses in 300 cities across the state. That's in addition to $290 million distributed to 9,000 businesses in 98 communities as part of last year's business interruption grants. There's a new executive director for the Illinois...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.